Luke chapter 13. The message today is a visitation from God, unrecognized and unreceived. I'll read several passages. One, in Luke 13, verse 6. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why doth it also come to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, and if it bear fruit thenceforth, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. Now Matthew 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returns to the city, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he saith unto it, Let there be no fruit from thee henceforward forever. And immediately the fig tree withered away. Now, Luke chapter 19. A visitation from God, unrecognized and unreceived. That's the message. I've given you a parable spoken by Christ, a parable in words, and then a parable in history, whereas Christ went to that fig tree. We'll work these in the will of God as we go along. Luke chapter 19, verse 35. Our Savior has sent 2 disciples to bring him back a donkey to ride upon, and it says, in 1935, and they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their garments upon the colt, and set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their garments in the way. And as he was now drawing nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the multitude said unto him, Teacher, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you that if these shall hold their peace, the stones will cry out. And when he drew nigh, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things which belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, when thine enemies shall cast up a bank about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that in the past weeks we have considered thy Son before he came into the world, about the promises, the announcements of his coming. And then we've considered the birth of thy Son. We're so thankful, Father, for all the happy thoughts that have filled our hearts in these past weeks. Indeed, we can sing, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And then let earth receive her king. But our God, let us know that today we've read passages not concerning thy Son before he came into the world, or at the first as an infant when he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, but we've read of him at the end of his life, Father, the life that was lived for God, and now a death that was to be died for the glory of his Father. We're thankful for the life of Christ in its entirety, and we pray that we shall learn about visitations from God, and that these visitations shall be recognized and shall be received. We recall that John said concerning the same thing. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. A visitation unknown and unrecognized. Our Father, we pray that we shall understand about your visitations, about the reception of the truth of God as light as it dawns upon us. So bless us to that end this morning. We thank you for every good thing that thou hast done for us up until now. And we look to thee for food for the children of God and truth for those that need salvation from thee, our God. Is not thy Son the Savior of the world? So bless us to that end. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There was no one who ever had the perception of the reality and the truth of things like our Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? I mean that he would hear things, and the way that you and I would hear those same things and make a judgment, that would not be his judgment. He would look upon a thing, and the way that you and I would look upon it and make a judgment, he would not judge that way. Because the Lord Jesus had a perception of reality. Let me show you what I mean. He heard Peter say this, I am prepared both to go to prison and to die with you. Did you hear those words? Peter has protested that he would never abandon the Lord, but he will go to prison and he will die with him. That's what the Lord heard. Our perceptive Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he said, and before the cock shall crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Do you see what I mean? He heard what Peter said, but he knew what truth lay in the words that Peter spoke. A contradiction of what was reality and what was truth. Now, in like manner, in the garden, after he rose and went forward, Judas Iscariot came with the band of soldiers. And when he came up to the Lord Jesus, he kissed him. Now think of that. If someone came and kissed you, you would say, that is an expression of love. That is what you and I would say. And the Savior said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You see, he had perception of truth and reality. The boastful words of Peter were not believed. And the kiss of Judas Iscariot was described as what it was, a betrayed kiss. One who would sell him for 30 pieces of silver and would give a perfidious, a hypocritical kiss, a kiss that contained a lie. Now, these illustrations are fulfillments of what God says concerning his Son when he was coming into the world. God said that the Spirit would rest upon him, and the Spirit would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It would be a spirit of counsel and of might, a spirit of understanding and the fear of the Lord. That's the Spirit of God that was on him. And it says, he shall not judge after the hearing of his ears, nor the seeing of his eyes, but he shall judge righteous judgment. And God, by the Spirit within him, enabled his son to see what was truth, to hear what was truth. And no matter what man said, the Lord Jesus knew the truth behind those words. No matter what man did, whether it was a kiss, whether it was a compliment, it meant nothing to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew the truth behind it. Now, I'm thinking this, that in the portions that I read to you, please notice the great contrast. Would you not think that if Jerusalem is being entered in by the King of the Jews, and multitudes are saying, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Would that not be a good sign? You say, yes, here is the nation of Israel accepting their king. And the Lord Jesus heard those words, and the Lord Jesus saw them, acclaiming him, casting their garments at his feet, casting palm branches at his feet. He saw all this acclamation, and he endured it until he came up over the brow of the hill and saw Jerusalem. And then he wept over it. You see again? A kiss from Judas, he said, this is betrayal. A boast from Peter, and he said, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crow twice. And now, multitudes proclaiming him as the king, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And it means absolutely nothing to the Savior, because he comes to Jerusalem, and he looks upon it, and he speaks of Jerusalem as the mother of its inhabitants, the city for its inhabitants. And he sees Jerusalem, and he weeps over it. And so this is the perception of the Lord Jesus. And that is why I read you from Luke 13 and Matthew 21, and now Luke chapter 19. Why? Because all of this hypocrisy and all of this rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ had been going on year after year. And the Father, who represents justice and righteousness, is looking upon the fig tree, which is a picture of the nation of Israel, and he says, I come all these years seeking fruit from this fig tree and find nothing. Cut it down. And the Lord Jesus, who is the intercessor for Israel, he says, give me another year. Give me another chance. I will dig about it. I will enrich the soil. And if it bears fruit next year, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. Now, that's the first fig tree. And at the last week of our Savior's life, he comes and he sees another fig tree. And outwardly, it looks as if it should contain fruit. But he goes and looks, and amongst all those leaves, no fruit. And the Lord Jesus, who had spoken the parable about trying to get fruit one more year from the fig tree, he looked at this pretentious, barren fig tree. And he said, let no fruit grow on thee from henceforth forever. And immediately, the fig tree withered. Do you see what has happened? The fig tree is a picture of the nation of Israel. And at first, when God says they've had enough time, the Lord Jesus, by his gracious intercession, secures for them another year of opportunity. But then that year has gone by. And the Savior is looking at a literal fig tree by the wayside, and he sees no fruit on it. And he says, that is Israel. And when he cursed the fig tree, that was his pronouncement of doom upon the nation of Israel. And that is what we read in Luke 19. When Christ was coming in to Jerusalem, you would think that when they said, "Blessed is the King of Israel, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," and were praising, you would think that the fig tree was bearing fruit. But the Lord Jesus said, all of these outward shows, these demonstrations of acceptance and praise, he said, they are nothing but leaves. There is no fruit. There's no reality in it. You see? Now you and I would say, at last the kingdom is going to come. The Lord Jesus said, it's not going to come. And I could have read you another parable that said this. He spake a parable unto them who thought that the kingdom of God was immediately to appear. But he said, no, it's not going to immediately appear. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So the Lord Jesus has to be put to death and cast out of the vineyard. And then he has to go to a far country, heaven, to receive that kingdom. And having received it from the Father, in the coming day, he shall return and establish his kingdom. But until that day, what I read to you in Luke chapter 19 is that which has transpired. So think now, the message is a visitation from God, unrecognized and unreceived. That's what the Savior said in the words I read to you. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace. If thou hadst known. But they did not know. They did not recognize that this was a visitation from God. And they did not recognize that it was their last opportunity as a nation, before Christ was put to death, to receive him in their hearts as king. So here was a visitation from God unrecognized. And here was a visitation from God unreceived. Notice, I quoted to you from John. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. They did not know him, unrecognized. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Unreceived, unknown, unreceived. And now, what is so terrible is this. The consequences that are involved after a visitation from God that is not recognized and that is not received. And the Lord Jesus tells them about it. If you want to hear it in the parable, the Father said, cut down the fig tree. And the Lord Jesus said, give me another year. If it bears fruit, well. If not, thou shalt cut it down. And that is what has happened. Here is a tree that looks so promising. Well, maybe in a few more years it will bear fruit. But God has given it one more year. And when it does not bear fruit, tell you, take an axe and with one blow, cut down a fig tree. And will it ever grow again? You say, not that tree that's cut down. And this is the illustration that Christ gives. Now, I want to tell you about the visitation from God, how they have been from of old, how they have been frequent, but how eventually they come to an end. The Lord Jesus, in this portion, should have another portion read with it so that you will understand. The Savior, in Matthew 23, utters these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. It's the same thing. You see, the fig tree that did not bear fruit. How often would I have gathered thy children together, that you would not. Your house is left unto you desolate. Here is a house, and the house becomes desolate. Here is a fig tree, but the fig tree is cut down. And here is the nation of Israel, and they have lost their opportunity because they knew not the time of their visitation. What does this mean? It means that the visitations have been coming frequently throughout the lifetime of Christ. I want to tell you about those visitations because it speaks so frequently of the visitations that come from God. Zechariah speaks of it. A visitation from God was when John the Baptist was born. And he speaks about God has visited his people. Why? Because God sent John the Baptist as the forerunner of the Messiah. He's going to come and announce the Messiah. And he says, my son, John the Baptist, is a visitation from God. Farther along, he says this, the dayspring from on high hath visited us. And so here is an anticipation, not only of his son, but of the dawn that is going to come when the Lord Jesus enters the scene. So here are two mentions of visitation from God. Let me tell you another. In Luke chapter 7, when the widow of Nain's son is raised from the dead, the people marvel, and they say, a prophet, a mighty prophet hath arisen indeed, and God hath visited his people. They realize that when one is dead and someone comes from heaven and raises from the dead, here is a visitation from God. God hath visited his people. But that is not enough. To recognize a miracle as a visitation from God, that a child is going to be born, that the Messiah has come, those things seem to be perceived, but the Lord Jesus said, they are not fully recognized because you knew not the time of thy visitation. Remarkable that God, who has given us mental intelligence, has also given us spiritual capacity to have intelligence. But what has happened is that Christ looked upon his people when they came to him and said, we want a sign from thee. Show us a sign. And the Lord Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. He said, this is the way you are. When at evening the sky is red, you say, it's going to be fair weather tomorrow. But in the morning, when the sky is red and lowering, you say, it's going to be foul weather today. And the Lord Jesus said, you know how to discern the face of heaven, but you know not how to discern the signs of the time. They could look at heaven and tell you whether it was going to rain or be fair. And they could look upon the face of the Son of God, and they knew not that this was the visitation from on high. And the Lord Jesus said that. You have a mental capacity to see physical things and interpret them, but you cannot understand the signs of the time. And what he said early in his ministry, now he says at the end of his ministry, he says, you knew not the time of thy visitation. And so visitations have been appearing unto Israel since John the Baptist was coming upon the scene. And then the Lord Jesus came upon the scene. And then he worked all his miracles. And each time a miracle was wrought, each time a precious truth from God was spoken, it was a visitation from God. And after all of those visitations, the Lord Jesus speaks of their culmination. He said, you knew not the time of thy visitation. If thou hadst known, even thou, in this day, the time of thy visitation, the things that belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. So think, here is a tree, it bears no fruit, and an axe chops it down. What fruit after that? You say, why no fruit? That's true. And a man who has a great position, who can open his eyes, but he tells the physician to depart from him, leave him alone. And then those blind eyes shall remain blind forever. And that's what Christ says. He says, now they are hid from thine eyes. You could have seen all the time that I've been upon the earth. He said, but since you rejected me, he says, the truth of God, it's hidden from thine eyes. Now, that challenges us to be perceptive when it comes to God visiting his people. Understand that the visitations of God did not cease when Christ was crucified. They ceased for the nation of Israel, that generation. But understand that they did not cease, and I will show you why. This is what Peter says in his epistle. He speaks about that we should have our behavior becoming before the eyes of men, that the Gentiles shall glorify God in the day of their visitation. You see the beauty of that? Here is God, and he is visiting a man, offering him salvation. And Peter says, I want all of you who profess the name of Christ to live a life that is above reproach, a life that is so attractive that men will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the day of visitation, when God invites them to come and be saved, they will glorify God in the day of visitation. And so you see, God's visitations continue even until today. That the visitations of God can be recognized and received, or they can go unrecognized and unreceived. And for the nation of Israel, this was the end. The visitations of God had been for all these years, but then they had ended. But thank God, his visitations continue with us. And God, when man is visited, can either glorify God, or he can reject God. That is a horrible thing to think of. Understand, the rich young ruler, he runs and he says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? To think that there has come into his life the Son of God, the light of heaven, the one man who can tell him to perfection what has to be done to inherit eternal life. And the Savior plainly tells him what is necessary to inherit eternal life. And the rich young ruler thought it over and said, no, and turned his back and walked away from eternal life. A visitation of God, but rejected. But here is Zacchaeus up that sycamore tree, and the Savior says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down, and the Savior went and dined with him, and the Savior said, today is salvation come to this house. The visitation of God is much for the rich young ruler as it was for Zacchaeus. But the rich young ruler said, no. And Zacchaeus said, yes. And that is the truth of God today. The visitations of God, and some of them are unrecognized as coming from God. And some of them are unreceived as coming from God. Listen to this, because I'm going to give you examples of visitations that were and were not recognized, just as the ones that I've given you. In Matthew chapter 25, the Savior is speaking about a coming event, and he illustrates it this way. He says, when the king shall sit on the throne of his glory, all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And then shall he say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And they shall say, when? When did all these things happen? And the Savior shall say, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. Now, this is what is so beautiful, that it may be at times you and I have done the greatest kindnesses in glorifying God, when unbeknownst to us, one who is hungry, who is thirsty, one who is sick, and we visited, we have fed, we have given to drink, and we thought nothing of it. But God thought everything of it. And he said, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for me, because, and so here is a visitation from God, but they did not realize that they were the ones who were God's representatives and were doing the visiting. Now, if God himself comes, you say, that's a visitation from God. If God sends an angel, as he did to Mary and to Zacharias, you say, that's a visitation from God. But what if you're in the hospital and one of us comes to see you? You say, that is a visitation from God. That's why I quoted to you from Matthew chapter 25. When did all this happen? He said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And Christ said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And so God is still giving visitations today, and those visitations can be unrecognized, and they can be unreceived, or they can be recognized, and they can be received. I recall this, and I never forgot it. Here is a little insignificant building here, but there is the light of heaven in this building. And I was in the mountains many years ago, and it was a prayer meeting, and some strangers came in, and they were sick, and they were confused, and yet, as people prayed, and another brother had a message on his heart, and he spoke for about 5 minutes, and then I got up and gave an exposition from the Word of God, and as soon as the meeting was over, the woman got up and said, the life of God is in this place. Why? Because she had heard the Scriptures open, she had heard one brother give light from the Scriptures, she had heard another brother give light from Scriptures, and as she sat next to all the people and asked questions, they were able to open the Bible and illumine her life. And she spontaneously said, the light of God is in this place. And so before you scorn this little place, I want you to understand that the light from heaven shines forth day after day and week after week. And sometimes it is recognized and sometimes it is scorned. But that woman, thank God, saw the light of God. And she heard how to be saved, and she understood about suffering that was occurring in her life and in her husband's life, and she acknowledged it, and she rejoiced in the abundance of light that was there. Now, in Matthew 25, the Savior speaks not only of the sheep, but he also speaks of the goats, and he's going to say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting darkness. Because I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and you did not visit me. I was in prison, and you did not come unto me. And they'll say, when? When? He said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And they go away unto everlasting contempt and damnation. Do you see? Here was the visitation from God, and here was an opportunity from God for you to be his representative, and you failed. And so at times, the visitations from God are known and received, and at times, they are unrecognized and unreceived. Let me tell you something remarkable about this word visitation. It seems as if it means that a person comes, knocks on your door, and enters in. But the actual word is this. An overseer in an assembly is the same word that is translated visitation. And the basic thought is this. To look about. To peer about. And the next step is this. God looks down upon man and he peers about. He looks about. And here is one who has done good. And in the will of God, God sees the good that he's done, and he visits that man. That is a visitation from God. God looks, He sees that good should be rewarded, and he comes and bestows good. And here is God also, who is peering about, and he looks upon a place like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sees that evil is there. And God comes down and he visits with judgment. And so, in the Bible, the Old Testament, if we include that as well as the New, there are visitations from God that are good, and there are visitations from God that are evil. And his visitations are numerous, so numerous that the Lord Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. At that time he began to upbraid the cities that repented not, because he had done his mighty miracles in them. No response. Capernaum. You think you're going to be exalted unto heaven, you'll be brought down to hell. Why? Because if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have remained unto this day. The Savior said, every miracle that I performed, all the truth that I uttered, he said, you repented not. And all of these were visitations from God. And he cut them off and he said, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had lived in Capernaum, gone in and out among them, performed his mightiest miracles in their vicinity, and they repented not. And so here's the visitation of God, and it was unrecognized and unreceived, and the consequences were horrible to consider. The Lord Jesus told us in the portion I read to you, he said, because you knew not the day of your visitation, your enemies are going to come, and they shall compass thee round about. They shall put up palisades. They shall put up trenches. And not only that, but they shall dash thee to the ground and the children that are within thee. Why? He said, because you knew not the time of your visitation. Their whole life long, all the years that Christ was in their midst, they were being visited by God, and they received him not. And therefore, eternal consequences involved. Understand that Christ only spoke of the physical consequences involved. He had spoken of them earlier. He said the king was filled with wrath because they would not respond to the invitation to the marriage of his son. And he said, God destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And the Lord Jesus is explaining in detail the same thing that he's speaking about in that marriage supper given for the Son of God. And so Christ has visited you, all of us. Let us recognize his visitations. Let us respond to those visitations. And then let us be blessed for good. Let us know what it is to have the peace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your patience, your long-suffering. We are thankful for all the light of heaven that has come our way. Forgive us, Father, if we are slow in recognizing it. But our Father, in time, let us recognize it. And our Father, let us not be among those who reject it, but let us receive it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, that earth receive her King. Our Father, thou dost know that we as thy children have received Christ as our King, as our Savior. And so we pray for the world, for all of those who have not received him. Let them understand who he is, the rights that are his, and let them enthrone him in their hearts, and let us as well. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.